This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. In a few minutes, gourmet coffee hits the stratosphere. Would you believe $22 for a single cup? First to Alaska, still feeling the effects of the Exxon Valdez oil spill nearly 20 years later. Next week, the Supreme Court will hear arguments in a case against ExxonMobil. Plaintiffs are demanding $2.5 billion, and if they get it, it would be the highest punitive damage award in history. Amy Bracken of member station KCHU reports.
Today, the harbor of the native village of Chiniga teems with life. A mob of sea lions gathers under the ferry dock, and whales blow in the distance. Once oiled species of the Prince William Sound appear vibrant again. But of the dozen or so native communities affected by the spill, some, like Chiniga, do not. Walk up the hill into the village and you'll find silence, an empty road and houses shrouded in snow, untouched by shovels or footprints. Since the spill, the local population has declined from an estimated 90 to 50. Resident Juana Zacker earned a lot working for years on Exxon's cleanup, allowing her to go away to school. But she returned and now wishes more of her old neighbors would, too.
Well, we definitely were paid to where I would see people would want to take that income they earned and put themselves through college or live somewhere else. But, you know, there's about four or five empty homes here, and, you know, they refuse to let go of those homes, but yet they never, ever come back. It's kind of sad. I mean, they should, if they want to remain here, they should have. They claim to be Chinegans, but they're never here.
Across the street from Zacker lives Charlie Robertson. He's a non-native who also worked on the cleanup. Sitting at his kitchen table, he looks out the window in time to see a whale breach.
Nice.
He says subsistence living is rare these days, even among those who did return, because of Chinegan's experiences as employees and adversaries of Exxon.
The oil spill, it taught them money, about money, and the maybe not all the good values of money, but they learned the white man's ways, going after money. They learned about lawyers. They learned about litigation. They learned the sell and give and take.
Well, overnight, a Western economy was injected into these pretty sleepy commercial fishing communities.
Christina Woolston is communications director for the Chiniga Native Corporation, a government-established private business whose shareholders are all Chinegans. She says Exxon dollars accelerated locally a broader dissolution of Native Alaskan culture.
Money's a good thing in a community if you have to have it. But up until that point, they had done pretty well living in a subsistence lifestyle. But when you start injecting lots of different Western cars and TV and cable, we see this all over Alaska where kids do not associate as much with the cultural backdrop of their community because they are so well connected with the outside. They dress like any kid in America does. And so I think the outside influence at that point took a turning point with the Prince William Sound communities.
But many of those who left the village say they yearn for the old days of living off the land and sea in Chiniga. Don Komkoff is one. After the spill, he left his post as Chiniga Tribal Council president and moved to Valdez, the terminus of the Trans-Alaska oil pipeline. There he worked for several years for an oil contractor. He's a claimant in the Exxon Valdez punitive damages case, now before the Supreme Court, but he says he'd give up any amount of oil money to have the old Chiniga back.
I don't think there's enough money for them to pay me. I could be living like a king if I could get from them that I could live back to the way my life was and all my family back together again, you know.
Since the spill, Komkoff's family split between Chiniga, Valdez, and elsewhere, and he lost close relatives, including his son, to alcohol, he says. Asked what he would do with his share of the payout if the high court rules in his favor, he hesitates. But one thing comes to mind, a fantasy that the company's dollars could bring back a little bit of his old life.
I don't know. I'll get a boat to live on, you know, just travel all over Sound and live off the fat of the land. That's my dream.
For NPR News, I'm Amy Bracken in Valdez, Alaska.